This is the Outpouring Meeting with Dr. David Jeffries.
Hey, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to seek God. And he said, you shall seek me. Which means he knows that sometime in your life you're going to seek him. Whether in desperation because you can't live without his power or his grace or his deliverance, or you're going to seek him because you know that seeking God has something to do. One, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God. Seek his kingdom. And everything that you'll ever need will be brought and laid at your feet. Taught on that about 6 weeks ago, didn't I?
I remember that.
That's his Gomer Pyle voice. And the good part about it is, you shall seek me and you shall find me. Look at that. That's a certainty. It's impossible not to find God when you seek me. When you have searched for me with all of your heart. Now the problem with that is finding out, I wonder when I'll reach the point when I've searched for him with all my heart and I'll find him. See, he doesn't tell you that. He just lets you find him and you go, oh, my land's alive. He must have accepted my seeking, my search for him. You shall seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I love the next part. King James, but it's okay. And I will be found by you. Ooh, no doubt you will find me. And I'll break the chains off your life. That's what he says, really. And I'll turn away your captivity. I'll break the captive bondage you're in. Can you beat that?
No.
I can't beat that. You shall seek me and find me when you have searched me with all your heart. So one day I said to the Lord, how am I going to be able to search for you with all my heart? I don't know anybody that could actually search for you with all their heart. I'm not sure of that. And then he showed me that at different times in your life, you've been far hungrier for God than at other times. And there are certain times when you're desperately hungry for God. You ever been desperately hungry for God? And at that moment, your own heart has set the pace of God being found by you. Your own heart has turned you toward God. Even though you may not know which direction it is, your own heart will turn you toward God. It will turn you toward the throne of righteousness. Your own heart will turn you toward the majesty of your Father. And then you'll find yourself finding him. Because he said, you shall seek and find me when you have searched for me with all of your heart. So he answered my question. I said, how can I know if I've searched you with all my heart? He said, then you'll know it because you found me. And I didn't have to ask him what it would be like to find him because I found him before. I found him just in the time of need. In the dark hour of my life, he brought the light in and I knew it was light. I knew it was from God. Isn't that good? Yeah. Hallelujah. Makes me want to shout, but I'm not the shouting type.
Amen.
Am I? Maybe I am. So are we good?
Praise God.
Isn't it great? What a great time to be in the presence of the Lord.
Praise God.
I changed my mind 3 times today about a certain thing. I changed my mind 3 different times. And with the changing of my mind, I changed my actions. I wasn't in sin. I wasn't doing anything wrong or evil. It's just that I had wrong thinking. And I want us to get healed from wrong thinking tonight. Stinking thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Can we do that? Most people in this room will say, well, I think I pretty well got my theology down. That's fine. I think I pretty well know who God is, and I know he knows who I am. And that doesn't sound unreasonable at all. But you understand, we're natural thinking and natural living people. We don't just naturally transition into the spirit. We are natural thinking people. We draw natural conclusions. Most of them are wrong, especially if they have to do with something that is a spiritual matter. you very seldom will come up with the right answer. Mm. You say, speak for yourself, Dave Jeffries. Who told you to wear a Hawaiian shirt today? I wanted to go to Hawaii. Listen to this. The natural thinking man does not receive the things of God, 1 Corinthians 2:14. Neither can the natural thinking person know them, for they're spiritually discerned. I proved what I said, didn't I? You discern by the Spirit, and you live by the Spirit. The Bible says, do all things in the Spirit. Do all things in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Pray with the Spirit, and pray with the understanding that the Spirit gives. So what I want to just to let you know, I learned a lesson today. I started off this morning pretty early thinking of what I could not do. And so I began to follow the course of something that I decided I could not do. Until I decided, what is this? Why am I doing this thing that I think I can't do? Why am I kind of shirking away from doing what I... Where's my faith in this and trust? And you can't just say faith without adding the word trust. Faith can be pretty well exercised by any Christian because it comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you hear the Word of God and you reach out and do what the Word of God says, you've had faith created. However, trust comes from a relationship with God where you've had history with God. You and God have a history going on. By the way, every Christian has a history going on with God.
Yes.
But I started off this morning believing that I could not do something. I just can't do it. Before this day is over, I'm going to fall flat on my face in some way. I don't have the power, or nor do I have the... What I see with my eyes tells me that I can't do this. So sometime during the day, I changed my mind. And so I just went and did it. And I had the hand of God on me when I did it. And the peace of God came down on me too.
I like that.
You see? So then I decided once again sometime a little later in the day that I still can't do this thing. You don't always learn on the first try, do you? Like, I guess God's going to have to give me another whirl on this. And I came a second time to believe that I couldn't do something. And the reason is because I narrowed my scope and my vision to see something from a tunnel and from a narrow scope, and I did not see the wider and broader scope that God had laid out before me. Mm. But when I did, I said, oh, my land's alive. I can do this thing. Whoop. I can do this thing through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. But I started off the day believing that I could not. There's something I could not do. I could not see my way through this thing. I could not see my way to clear it. Then I changed my mind the second time. And I said, I can do this thing through Christ who strengthens me. But I did not yet have the broader scope of God. I only had this scope that I was looking at. So what's going on is most of us in this room have narrowed the scope of what we see. And so therefore we have called the situation according to how we see it. Now in Isaiah, it says, when he, the Messiah, shall come, he will not believe what he sees with his eyes or what he hears with his ears, but all the glory of the earth will be filled up. The earth will be filled up with all the knowledge of God. He won't just listen to what he sees or what he thinks. See, the Lord Jesus, if he believed everything that he saw or even that what he thought, he didn't do that. He continually had a default in his life. There was a default that Jesus had. Have you ever had a default on your computer? Whose default is this? My computer crashed. No, you ever? It goes back to default to the original settings.
Yeah.
See? But Jesus had the mind of the Father. And so the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it gives you an admonition that you abstain from fornication, that you abstain from immorality. It's saying if you take on the mind of Christ in this, you will be repulsed by evil. So that's why the Bible says bringing every thought that you have into captivity to Christ. Mm-hmm. Isn't that good?
Oh yeah.
And it makes me feel good to say it. I've actually practiced that. Had a thought coming by me one day, and it was bad. And I said, "Where in the world did that come from?" And it was oppressive. It started to oppress me. Do you ever have thoughts of oppression?
Yes.
You have.
In a word. Yes.
Thanks for that honesty. And you know what happened? This is true. I didn't think about this. I wouldn't even think about the scripture, and I saw a flash coming out of my right side like that, and it was the hand of God. He grabbed that thought and he jerked it out and moved it. And I no longer had that thought had no more power over me.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Bringing every thought into captivity to Christ. So see, that's what God is teaching us how to bring the thought into captivity, to literally believe God above believing what you see or what you think or the conclusions that you made. See, I made a conclusion 3 different times and I changed my mind 3 times. And I did so, I'll tell you why, because each time I made this decision, it was about in a negative aspect, and I made the decision from the reality world that I was seeing with my eyes and thinking and judging with my mind. But then I said, there's something from God better than this. And when I said that, the whole thing, I changed my mind again, and things got better. I can do this thing through Christ who strengthens me. See, that became a part of my nature to say that. It should be a part of your nature to say, I can do all things, yes, yes. But this thing is a subset of all things. In Boolean algebra, it is. Boolean algebra, who's that? I have Boolean algebra. I can't help it. That's what they put me in a class with. Listen, I can do all things, but a subset of all things is I can do this thing. I can do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Through Christ who strengthens me to do this thing. You see, we're on the backside of the strength coming from heaven. Most of us are on the backside of heaven's strength, aren't we? Well, we are. I'm telling you, we are. And so therefore, since we're on the backside of his strength and we've not yet experienced that strength in this situation, then it seems like an unreality to us. Like, it's just me trying to imagine something that I've never seen or imagine something that somebody's described. It's hard to do so unless you actually feel it or touch it, or as my brother would say, or actually see it. They talked about Jesus being the truth and of whom we have handled. They put their hands on the living Jesus. They actually, isn't that neat? They probably laid hands on him and blessed him, and it was really neat. We've handled the Son of the Word of God. We've handled him. We've had him in here in our living presence. But I can do
all things.
And then I can do
this thing.
See, you must make it very personal, because I'll say something to you. Most of our thinking and the conclusions that we draw are insults to the Word of God. They're insults to God because he said something otherwise, other than what we're believing and what we're thinking and what we're deciding. Did you ever get in trouble with some of the decisions as a Christian that you made? Well, you did. You just don't remember it. Maybe it's early this morning you made. So I changed my mind the second time. And because I changed my mind and I defaulted to what God had already said about this kind of thing, I set my default to what God had already said. I can do this thing. I'm no longer afraid. I'm no longer narrowing my scope, because this is all I can see. And so I need God's Spirit to strengthen me to see a broader scope and to see a larger issue. You see? One of the most excruciating things for me to experience with a brother or a sister when they're talking to me is for them to draw a conclusion. I don't have enough money to pay my rent. House payment. When's your house payment due? 2 weeks from now. Then you think God's just going to give up on you over the next 2 weeks, and there is no possibility that he could open a door that you could actually have the money to pay your house payment rent? Well, I really never gave that much thought. I'll tell you what, I'm starting to worry right now, because I got 2 more weeks. And I guarantee you by then I won't have it. I ain't going to have it. God don't, he didn't give it one other month or something. Or a talk like that, no wonder your life's falling apart. Oh, no wonder you're crumbling under, the world's crumbling under your feet. I can do this thing. I can do this thing. God likes that. You see, God, scripture says with God, it's yes and amen. It's yes and so be it. Let it be so. God is a let it be so God in your life. Let it be so. Thank you, Father. Let it be so. Now, I may not have the resources or I may not know how to do something, but God has unlimited resources.
Yes, he does.
Spiritual strength and wisdom and knowledge and grace and all those things. All those things be under the, has its grace and something be under the Lamb. I can do this thing through Christ who strengthened me. Now, let me show you how I did this again. I started off this morning early and said, look like all is gloom and doom, and I don't know how I'm going to do this and how I'm going to make this happen. I had drawn a conclusion without the anointing and without really seeking God about it. I didn't really turn to the Lord and say, what do you think about it? I just decided that this is how it is. Don't ever decide how something is. And so in a little while, God made a way where there was no way. He just made a way. He just carved it out for me.
I like that.
You like God to carve something out for you?
Oh, yeah. Just like a Thanksgiving turkey. It's just really
That's
good.
It. God, who calls those things that be not as though they are.
Yeah.
You know that. God who calls those things that be not as though they are. He called into being, and there was darkness, only darkness. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And he wants you to be like him. Do you understand? He wants you and me to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want you to be like the former you, because the former you is the patterned you that has patterned yourself to believe the worst. It's patterned yourself to be afraid. We have patterns of fear interwoven throughout our entire structure.
Mm.
And we'll often default to fear. But it'd be because we can't help it. Until we hear the word that says, but perfect love casts fear out. Cast it out. And by the way, ekbalo is the word in Greek for cast. You don't really need to know that, but it's a violent ekbalo. It means violently fling it out of you.
Mm.
Violently fling it. So here's God. He's come into your life today to make everything possible that is good and holy and wonderful and life-changing and healing happen in your life today.
Ooh.
That's how he starts off his day, with that attitude toward us. And we start off our day often saying, oh no, oh no, because our scope is narrowed down again. But what you want to do is you want to believe something about God that you've not previously believed. You want God to expand your trust and expand your understanding and expand your belief that with God all things are possible. With man or me and the way I would do it, things are not so possible. But with God all things are possible. All things, anything. Anything that needs to happen to change the day. And so after the second time I decided that I was going down a wrong road of thinking, the Spirit of God said this, what about this? And he pointed exactly at something. I said, oh, my land's alive. I never thought of that. And I was like, oh, praise God. I can do this now. See? God said, what about this? And he pointed right at something in my life. What about this? Can't you use this to satisfy this? And I said, you're right, God. I never even saw that, never looked at it. But you see, God who makes out of nothing, he makes things that are out of nothing that do not appear. He makes those things. And so the things haven't yet appeared in your thinking or in your mind, but they will appear when you begin to exercise your faith and trust in God. The way you start your day. This is the day the Lord hath made. You are right to paraphrase it by saying, before this day is over, I will find a way to what? Rejoice and be glad in this day. And someone said, this is the worst day of your life. How can you say that? I mean, God's got to fail you sometime in this day, and that scripture, that just ain't gone. And you're going to go, shut your mouth, devil. God will help me find a way to rejoice and be glad in this day, no matter what tragic or what difficulty comes my way. And then God will create a way again where there is no way. Say that.
God will create a way where there is no way.
So here's what I want to show you. I want you to get the picture of, go ahead and say, there seems to be no way. Say it.
There seems to be no way.
Help me to know a way.
Help me to know a way.
Father, when there's no vision of it.
There's no vision of it.
Remember the scripture that says, without a vision, the people perish?
Oh, yeah.
What is the opposite of that? Now, take your time. Don't anybody jump up on it too quick.
With a vision, people live.
With a vision what?
People live.
I like that. What's the opposite of perish? What's the opposite of perish?
Flourish.
Huh?
Flourish.
I love it. Ooh. Flourish. You know where flourish comes from? The French word fleur. Les fleurs, which means the flowers.
Sounds French.
Les fleurs. Il y a beaucoup de fleurs. La. I got plenty of flowers on my porch. La. Il y a beaucoup de fleurs ici. Fleur. Flourish. Fleur. Flower. Flower. Flourish. So, but with a vision, the people break forth into flourishing. You look at them and you say, man, you look like you're the most depressed person I've seen in my life 5 minutes ago. And then Jesus walked in and laid his hand on you. Look at you now. And you lit up like a Christmas tree. You're flourishing, you understand? You're brightening.
Yes.
And then you say, with the flourishing comes a solid grip on this thing called hope. I now have hope where there was no hope. Come on, how about that?
I like that.
Trading your despair, hope for despair. Hope for despair. Encouragement. All of those things. You understand that you can be in the depths of the depression of there's no way out of this. There's the most horrible dread that I have over me. And 5 minutes later, when you back up and say, I've gone about this all wrong. I can do this thing through Jesus, Son of God, who now strengthens me. And then strength comes from heaven. And you're just as high on the other side of glory and flourishing and brightening as you were in depression a while ago. Because you have brought God. You have brought God into the picture. You brought His Word. And what His Word has to say about this. You see? That's why it's so important that you study the Word, that you hide the Word in your heart, that you might not sin against God. God is here. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I just say it out loud. There's nobody there to hear me. The Lord is here. I say it loud like that.
Mm-hmm.
Lord is here. He's here in this room. The Lord's here. And I just feel Him brightening. Mm-hmm. I feel His presence. And I'm going, oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Where an hour ago it was so bad, it's now it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
See? The joy of the Lord becomes your strength.
It does.
And you feel strengthened. And when you're strengthened, you're encouraged. And when you're encouraged, you flourish. And when you flourish, you have a hope that you didn't have an hour ago. And it's the hope that I've said 42 times in the last 6 months. Ready for this? The hope of a better tomorrow. Say it, tomorrow will be better.
Tomorrow will be better.
We will have a better tomorrow. Do you understand that's the plan of God? Is to give you a better tomorrow than He gave you yesterday and today. He has plans. He has an exact thought plan towards you to give you a better tomorrow. Because He's the God of the increase. He's not the God of the decrease. He's the God of the increase. He wants your mind to be stronger tomorrow. He wants you to be more settled. He wants you to not look at things and draw conclusions from what you see. One more time, Isaiah 11. And he, when the Messiah shall come, shall not believe what he sees with his eyes or hear with his ears. He won't just look at something and say, well, I guess that's the way things are because that's the way it looks. I looked at a sky in 1996. I was with my farmer friend in the field. I looked up the sky. It was totally blue sky. Had been clouded in the morning, but I couldn't get around to praying for rain for him until the afternoon. And by the time we got to the field, it was totally blue sky, not a cloud in the sky. But see, I didn't, Mr. Smart, I didn't say, I know this is not just blue sky, but I know God can do it. I didn't do that. I just did what God instructed me, one thing after the other, to do. You understand? All you need to do is obey God. You don't need to see on the other side. You just need to see God here and now, not what might be or what could be or what you're afraid will happen or won't happen. You don't go there. You just say, what will you have me to do? He said, pour water on this dish towel and twirl it over your head and cry out, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain in the name of Jesus. I just did that not knowing what was going to happen. But in a minute and a half, there was a great shower, outpouring of water, literally a wall of water falling all over us from out of the sky with blue skies. Materializing from somewhere, we had to get in the truck and turn those windshield wipers on and sit there. And I'm going, I don't think there's anybody in the world could really make that happen. But any Christian could follow God to the rain. Hallelujah! You can follow God to the rain. He can make it rain if you'll just follow him. He can cause your dry, thirsty soul to flourish and to be well-watered like a well-watered garden from God. Well-watered. Say it, well-watered.
Well-watered.
Hallelujah. I went to another part of the field, and I said, I was in shock by then. I was in shock. Like, I said to the farmer, you ever seen anything like this? He's, I ain't never seen it rain without clouds in the sky. That's what he said. He had tickled a baseball bat. He's really a redneck. He had red hair all the way down his neck. And a white place up here with a ball cap. And I said, he said, never seen it rain without clouds in the sky. He was like 50 years old, and he'd been in fields all his life because he was a farmer raising thousands of acres of crops. So we went to the second field. I was a little scared. Like, you know what happened over there? And I said, pour some water. He poured water on this rag. And the Lord said, now twirl it over your head so that the drops will come off the water and drop all around you like raindrops. Raindrops keep falling from my head. Now listen, so I just did what I was told. I don't care if it looked dumb or stupid or whatever. I just, and then I went, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I didn't hear any sound of rain. He told me to shout what Elisha shouted. And that's what Elisha shouted. I heard the sound of an abundance of rain in the name of Jesus, I said. And when I did, there weren't any clouds to burst. There were no cloud bursts. It just went, poured water all over us and the crops. And days after that, it rained and rained and rained. All they were desperate in need of rain, and God caused the rain. The heavens to open, and God caused the rain to come. Wait a minute. God caused the rain to fall. God causes the sun to shine upon the earth. God causes the barren womb to bear a child. Mm-hmm. God causes the fearful to become rejoicing. God caused the darkness to turn into daylight. God caused the hopeless to have real hope in their heart for a better tomorrow. A better tomorrow. Hallelujah. Come on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every day you get up, you ought to say, God's preparing me today for a better tomorrow. He's preparing me for the best day today I can have for. And then from that, he's got me plans for a better tomorrow. But you understand, we don't believe that. We see something in our life or hear something someone says or see a circumstance and we say, it couldn't get any worse than this. And you just proceed for it to get worse the rest of the day. It couldn't get any worse than this. And as long as you say that, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. But when you say, I can do this thing through Christ who strengthens me, it can only be better. There can only be a brighter hope. There can only be the breath of God breathing on the flame to kindle the flame of my heart. I need the breath of God to kindle the flames of my heart. Isn't that good?
Mm, good?
It really is good. It's great. It's wonderful. That's what serving God's all about. Every day of your life. Every day of your life. Now for repentance. Forgive me, Father, for narrowing the scope of what I have called the shots and said it must be this way. And so therefore I see no solution. And God is saying, you never see a solution until you begin by faith. Mm-hmm. Until you believe right. that I'm larger than the problem. Mm-hmm. Until you believe that the problem may shout and scream and threaten and everything. But until you believe and confess that I'm greater than the problem. That your God is greater than whatever's threatening you. And as you begin to declare that, God is greater than this. God is more powerful than this. I will fear no evil. I will fear not what man shall do unto me. I will walk on my high places. You ever heard that in the scripture? I will walk on my high places. Yeah. It means I'm going to walk on my highest emotional, spiritual, and wise and understanding way that I can possibly walk before God. That's the promise. You're going to walk on your high places, not just from the dregs on the bottom of the barrel. You're going to the heights. Come up higher, my beloved, the Lord says. Come up higher, higher. He calls you up. Are you going to ignore his call? I don't think so. So we're not afraid. Say it.
We're not afraid.
Now make it personal.
I'm not afraid.
As long as you are afraid, you'll be crippled and paralyzed. As long as you look at the circumstance and you declare what it is, it's hopeless. I don't have a way out of this. Don't see a way out of this. I'm mad at God. I'm upset. I'm mad at people. I'm mad at my call is not being fulfilled like I thought it would be. I'm whatever. As long as you see the negative side, then it will drag you down. But when you see Christ in his manifested power and glory before you, calling you up higher, then you say, I will go up higher. You said, come up higher, my beloved. I will come up higher, Father. I will follow your call to come to a higher plateau, to a better place, a stronger walk with God and in your spirit. It's a good word, isn't it? So I changed my mind at least 3 times today. Until the last time I changed my mind, I got the full breakthrough and I saw the solution to what I didn't believe was possible this morning. I mean, not going to happen. Can't happen. Won't happen. Things can't possibly work out in that. And 45 minutes ago, God said, there's the solution. I said, oh, my land's alive. I never looked at that. Thank you, Father. And it was solved. Do you think I'll lose any sleep over that tonight? No. No, I'm not going to lose any sleep over this stuff because God has secured us and said, seek first the kingdom and everything you'll ever need will be brought and laid at your feet. How many times have I told him that? I'm just tired of it almost. Take no thought for tomorrow. But you know what Christians are doing? Everything is about securing my tomorrow. If I don't secure my tomorrow, I'm going to fail. I'm going to have a miserably failing life. Hey, if you do some way find a way to secure your tomorrow, you will fail. Because it will be you securing your tomorrow. That's why the safest and best prayer you can pray is give us this day our daily bread. You could act as though you won't eat unless God provides it today. You can live your life like that. So, well, that's kind of hard to do because I got food in the house. I got enough food to last me a week or two. No, but give us this day our daily bread. It's a leaning hard and a dependency upon God that is healthy for you. To pray that way. And to believe that way. And to live that way. Give us this day our daily bread. See? What kind of bread does he call it? Daily bread. Today. You wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to have myself a nice breakfast. And the Holy Spirit says, fast. You go, what? I'm going to have myself a fast, nice breakfast. No, fast. I'm going to get up and hurry and go in there and fix you some fast. Don't eat nothing. Oh, that kind of fast. Okay. But you know it's God, so it's not hard to do. It may be a bit difficult while your stomach rumbling about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But you're fasted. Put
but you're doing it because God said, you don't need to ask for your daily bread today because I've declared it a fast. If you pray, give us this day our daily bread, there won't be any there because I've called you to fast. Oh. Did anybody catch that? So God's present word in this moment supersedes everything else of his word everywhere else. You're being guided by the Holy Spirit here and now, and that's very important. It's important that you don't blow this right now with God. So what is God putting in your heart to do? What's he putting in your heart to do? Where is he putting in your heart to go? What kind of love is he giving you to express? If you go a day without expressing a measure of God's love, you've lost that day. You've just lost that day. There's no fruit. How many days would you like to have accumulated with no fruit? You say, what? Where does this thing on love all of a sudden you change the whole tune and start teaching on? Well, it's all about love, isn't it? If we fail to love, even to love the unlovely, if we fail to love even the unlovely, we fail that day. While we may have done great things, we may have written out a big check to somebody, and we may have done some real labor to help somebody pour a concrete slab or something, or whatever we've done, and we feel good about it. Well, I worked real hard today to get this done, and God said, did you give love? And you go, hey, I didn't really. And he'll show you 7 times that you could have given love in the day, but you were too busy because you just didn't have time to go give that love. So we don't want a day to pass without some measure of God's love being expressed in our life, do we? Do we? No. How do we love him? This is the love of God that we obey his commandments. This is the love of God. This is you loving God that you obey his commandments. And that you let his commandments take precedence over everything else. If in the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, if we could see the whole story from Genesis to Revelation, and we could look at the time that people had decisions to make, and if they had said, what good will it do me if I did this? What good would it do me if I do this for God, or I do what I think God wants me to do? Suppose Moses had said, I'm not sure this is God, when God said, stretch out your hand over the waters. Suppose he'd said, I can't see what that'll do. Suppose he didn't do it. Suppose he just said, well, I'm not going to stretch my hand over the waters. That doesn't do any good. I've never seen the waters do anything by anybody stretching a hand out before. But don't you understand? God says, behold, I'll do a new thing, a brand new thing. Get out of the way and let God do something brand new in your life. Then take the wrapper off for something really new. See? Believe God for a new thing. Behold, I'll do a new thing in your life. And that new thing shall spring forth quickly. It's going to happen fast in your life. And it shall be to you like a clear pathway through all your confusion. It shall be to you like living water and springs of the desert where there's nothing to drink but that which is given to you to drink by God. How do you like that? Isaiah 43:18-19. I'm ready to drink from the hand of God. I'm ready to eat from his hand. Give us this day our daily bread. And don't push God to do more than what your needs are. Did you eat today? Did you drink today? Did you sleep today? Did you sleep last night? What more than your daily living do you need? The wealthiest man or woman on earth needs no more than their daily bread. They can only eat so much comfortably. They can only sleep so long comfortably. They can only wear usually 1 pair of pants at a time. You are everything God is making you today. You're everything God, but he's only making you something today. Did you know that you don't grow tomorrow? Because there's no tomorrow yet. All the growing you're going to do will be growing today. Then if you live tomorrow and wake up, all the growing you're going to do is that day. But all you have, the growing, is the growing now in the Lord. It's growing right here where you are. So that's why God wants you to travel light. He doesn't want you to carry huge burdens of what you are afraid might happen if you don't put a big backpack on your back. He doesn't want you to carry all these crazy burdens and troubles with you. But you only have today. Pack light and travel light. Pack only the word of God that's sufficient for this hour. Do you understand? God will give you words sufficient for this hour. And if you're taking in too many words and they're leading you on too many rabbit tracks, you'll miss the very word that God has chosen for this hour. What is that? What are you saying, Lord? Travel light. Travel as though there is no tomorrow. You know why? If you act as though there is no tomorrow, you'll have all your concentration on what God wants you to do here and now. You won't waste your time fearing and worrying about tomorrow. You won't waste your time with that. You'll travel light. You'll travel light. Does this say anything to you about travel light? Does it say anything to you about not taking thought for what you have or how you're going to secure your future? Wouldn't you rather believe that God is the security of your future? Wouldn't you rather believe that serving, loving, and going to bed tonight, loving God, and waking up in the morning, loving a God is more than enough? Because you know God loves you. If I were to say, do you love God? Do you always feel like you love God? You might say, well, no, not really. I don't know. If I were to say, do you really believe that God is always loving you? Most everybody would say yes. I don't believe God ever stops loving me. I believe God loves me night and day, every single day of my life, and the last day of my life, God will still be loving me. I don't know why that's simple for me to believe that, and you too, huh? Am I by myself in that? But since you love God and you believe He loves you, do you think that He's going to start in the morning, the one that you're worried about tomorrow? You think He's going to start in the morning forgetting about you? Don't think I'll feed Him today. Don't think I'll bless Him today. Think I'll let the devil beat the crud out of them and just keep on beating until the day they die. That's not God's thinking. That's not the way God's thinking about you. Again, He's thinking about giving you a better tomorrow than you had today. So since He's thinking about giving you a better tomorrow than you had today, you already got all of heaven pulling for you for tomorrow. And you got all of heaven pulling for you for today. God didn't just have glimpses of you, like I got a glimpse of her on the way to the nursery. He doesn't do, you know, He's totally involved in your life. Every day of your life. Until the last of your life. And then he's involved in your eternity. Totally involved in your eternity. Lord have mercy, what's that going to be? So my question is this, and I want you to learn from this. I want you to learn from this. Think about the times that you've made decisions as a Christian and it has set the pace of the way you live your life. And you live your life with struggle and constant worry and constant fear and disappointment and anger and every kind of thing going on inside of you. And you have set the way and the course of the way you live your life by the way you have decided that the decisions that you've made are from a narrow scope rather than looking for the possibilities that God has. You'll never see them as long as you make declarations. This is the way it is. It's the way it's always been. And it's going to be the way it is today. And I don't see any other way. Well, no, you don't see any other way because you have no vision. And without a vision, you perish. You die away. You wither up and drop and blown away by the wind. So with a vision, you flourish. Good word?
Good word.
Have you ever looked at something and said, well, this is the way it's going to be?
Okay.
You know, God will let you, God will stretch out your misery just so you will be able to find out what's really in your mind and heart about it. God will let you stretch it out for you. It's like, looks like it would have been over by now, God. I thought I had enough of it yesterday. And God will let you stretch it out because He's finding out, do you serve Him because you love Him or do you serve Him because He blesses you? Do you serve Him because you believe you can depend on Him or do you serve Him just because you really just love Him? Good, bad, right, or wrong, I love God. Very good. All the transactions from God are not transactions with your mind, they're transactions with your heart. And when you transact with God, you transact with your heart to God. Isn't that good? And when you make the transaction from your heart, then God's Spirit comes and instructs your mind in what just happened. Good word. What does it mean to live off the land? When you hear someone say, go into that place over there and live off the land, what does it mean? Well, it just means
you live off what's available.
You live off what's available land. General Meade. Ever heard of General Meade?
Mm-hmm.
You have? He was one of Abraham Lincoln's generals. Mm-hmm. And Abraham Lincoln one day made a statement about General Meade. He said, General Meade's got the slows. S-L-O-E-S. S-L-O-W-E-S. The slows means, well, what General Meade did was, Lincoln said, I want you to take 50,000 men, and I want you to get your provision like you should have, and I want you to take off, and I want you to go to a certain place, 200 or 300 miles away. So General Meade loaded his wagons down, I mean, with all the horse feed and everything he could possibly have, and all the provisions and food, and they were like getting 2 miles a day because they had so much weight on the wagons. And General Abraham Lincoln said, General Meade's got the slows. I need to get me a general that don't have the slows. And so he gave a command, live off the land. All you need is take money. And money doesn't weigh very much when it's paper money. And Lincoln said, take your money, and as you go along, buy your horse feed and buy your provisions as you go. When you get to camp, have the people bring the food into camp. Fresh food that you don't have to haul everything with you. I mean, they had hay stacked up for the wagons and feed for the horses, and they couldn't go anywhere because they weren't traveling light, and they were taking more than a day's provision. Now, remember how he gave commandment to the disciples? Don't take an extra coat. Don't take an extra pair of shoes.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Don't take extra food.
Don't even have a purse.
Don't even have anything to put money in.
Yes.
I wasn't going to be carrying a purse anyway, but don't take anything. Don't take anything. Now, why did he give that commandment to begin with? See, he gave us a different commandment later, but why did he give that? He was saying, don't even think about whether God's going to take care of you or not. Where he guides, he provides. Say it.
Where he guides, he provides.
But you must believe that where he guides, he provides. And so they'd go about all over the place, and people would come up and say, you boys hungry? You hungry? And they go, how did they know? How could they? And they were fed every day, and they were clothed and were housed everywhere they went, because you know what? They went there with God. They didn't go there with their own plan. They went there under the plan of God. And when you go under the plan of God, you go with provision in the plan. Is that a little better explanation of travel light? Now listen to me. Take no thought for tomorrow. Travel light. Travel with a hand full of grace. Travel with a heart full of praise. Travel with a mind full of trust. Travel with joy. Travel with the joy of the Lord. And don't care whether you eat or drink or do anything. Just go in the name of Jesus. And God will meet you everywhere you go. He will meet you sometime in that day everywhere you go.
Praise God.
He'll meet you there. The Lord spoke to me about 10 years ago. And he said, I'll meet you. And he told me where he'd meet me. I'll meet you where the fish is upon the coals of the fire. That's what he said to me. I'll meet you where the fish is on the coals of the fire. I tried to get an interpretation for that. Then I came to the conclusion that someday I'll have some fish on some coals somewhere out barbecuing, and some coals on the fish, and the Lord will show up. But he told me that years and years ago. You know what? I didn't go wondering or try to figure it out. I just knew that someday I'd be somewhere where there'd be fish on the fire and the Son of God would walk in. Mm. I don't know what's going to happen. I just, you know why? Because he told me that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll meet you where the coals are on the fire. Don't you like that? Fire in your heart. The coals of fire in your mouth to speak the truth of God with the power of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's where he'll meet us. But travel light. Travel late. Take no thought for tomorrow. Don't go try to make your tomorrow for yourself. Because if you do, you'll be a self-made Christian, and there's no such thing as a self-made Christian. You're made in the image of your Father. You are made in the image. You didn't make yourself. You're made. Somebody's acting upon you to make you in the image of your Father. Well, that's enough.
Thanks for listening to The Outpouring with Dr. David Jeffries. For more information, visit his website at drdavidjeffries.com. And that is spelled drdavidjeffries.com. I'm Harley Cannon.